the tithes and offering, and for this offering that has been brought for Carmen. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we bless it in the name of the Lord. Father, bless the givers, Lord. Multiply it to them, to their seed. Thank you for the seed that they have planted, Lord. You promised to multiply it, and Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you, because you are the giver. You supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. And so, Father, we pray you give the board of directors wisdom. We bless them for the time. We bless them for the wisdom. And, Father, we pray that you continue to use them and how to use these funds and the finances, Father, for the further of your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
All right, I know you're ready to go home or to the restaurant. So, I love the presence of the Lord. I was a mess back there. There are not many things that shake me anymore, you know, not only because of my demeanor and my age, but when it comes to the Lord and his presence, I just melt. So I'm going to try to get composure here because he wants me to say something for you, to you. And today we're going to talk about fear. The phrase fear not, appears in Scripture a bunch of times. You know, fear not, do not fear. There are at least two major types of fear that I'm going to concentrate on talking about today. There are probably more than that, but I'm going to concentrate on two and maybe three. The first one is the fear of the Lord, which is holy reverence, awe. You know, just like we experienced a while ago, just when the Lord shows up, there's just, sometimes they're not even words. I was glad that there were words written in the screen there so I can sing, because, you know, when God shows up, there's just no words to describe and to honor him and to exalt him. So it's a, this fear of the Lord is a holy reverence and awe, a respect for God, even a cautious approaching into his presence. We don't go flippantly. We don't go casually. We go cautiously because he is so holy. We don't understand really what holiness is all about until he shows up. And then we just can't even describe it. We can't even move. This is a good fear. We know who God is based on his word and how he reveals himself to us. And because he's a creator of all things, we should have reverence and awe and respect for him. You know, we call it fear, but it's really not the fear that we used to hear about. It is a desire not to displease or disappoint him because he's just so awesome. Amen. And so we want to conduct ourselves rightfully that we can approach him respectfully, honorably. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it talks about this. It says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, see, that's a good fear, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. See, when there is fear, reverence, and awe, respect, and honor to the Lord, then things flow the way he wants them to flow. Now, there's a second type of fear, and this is when we're frightened, when we are alarmed, when we are being fearful of what man can do to us, even sometimes having the fear of the unknown. You know, we're finding ourselves in a place where we haven't been before, and we get fearful. This is the bad fear. And this kind of fear will keep us from being useful in the kingdom of God, from fulfilling the plan of God for our lives. Here's some examples of bad fear in scripture, because I know that you know many of the good ones. So we're going to talk about a little bit about the bad ones. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare." So many times we want to impress people. I don't know why. I guess we fear of being rejected, but we fear man, and so we do sometimes stupid stuff in front of men, silly things, and things that are not proper just because we fear men. That shouldn't be. That's not the kind of fear that God wants us to have. He says, whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Don't fear man, just trust God, and he'll make sure you're okay. Another scripture in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus did some things, and then they were so taken by what he did, and he said in verse 26, but he said unto them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? This is when they were in the boat, and he was taking a snooze in the back of the boat, and there was a storm, and the boat was about sinking, and the disciples, they were so scared, they woke Jesus up. Don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus said, why are you so fearful of this circumstance? And then he rebuked him, O you of little faith. So he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. He said the same thing in Mark chapter 4. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So where there is this kind of fear, faith, our faith in the Lord just goes and takes a vacation. We don't want that. Now, as you know, God is constantly giving us an invitation to be strong, courageous, and unafraid. You know, every time that there's an angelic visitation, the first thing that the angel says, do not fear. Amen. And even when the Lord shows up, fear not, I'm with you. So this is the good kind of fear, the bad kind of fear that the Lord wants to bring to the people. Don't be scared, just be reverent before me. So that's the contrast between the good fear and the bad fear. So God is constantly giving us invitation to be strong, courageous, and unafraid. But many times when the Lord asks us to go or to do certain things, you know, negative things can begin to unfold before us that we didn't expect. And it feels impossible sometimes for us to escape this fear. And you know, we hesitate to accept God's invitation to walk with courage and, you know, and strength. Whenever we feel a fear that keeps us from doing the will of God, that means that we are lacking a revelation of God's love in that moment. Why? In Romans chapter 8, that's not the one I want. It's the next one. Yeah, there you go. There is no fear in love. You see, the greatest thing is love. And God is saying there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Amen. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. In other words, you have not grown to the point to understand the love that God has for us. And so we doubt him. We think there's things that can go against us, that can really hurt us. But once we understand the full love of God and a holistic understanding of his perfect love towards us, then fear has no ground to get a hold of us. Many of us have regularly heard of this scripture quoted. It's found in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So this confirms again that bad fear doesn't come from God. What does come from God, it is a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. We understand what's going on, but our minds have already been renewed by God's promises and His word to where we know that we have authority over the enemy when we walk in the right path with the Lord. And so we don't need to walk in fear. The inference here is that we should cast that spirit of fear and move on in the things that God has called us to move on. Many times ungodly fear can grab our attention. I'd say most of the times, if not all. It can get us ready to fight or get us ready to flee, one or the other. Whether we mask our fear with a macho attitude, oh, we'll take care of this, you're really scared inside, or whether we run scared looking for a place to hide, fear can have a powerful effect on our thinking, in our decision making, and our different actions that we take based on that fear. Now, we need to understand that a healthy fear can keep us from harm many times. But too often, bad fear keeps us from doing what we need to do and what we want to do. Fear seems to be a common thing in our society today. I know that you guys have not depended on news to keep you posted on what's going on, but some of you still hear the news. And you hear the troubles in the world and our neighborhoods. We hear terrorism, mass shooting, spreading warfare, violent crime, epidemic diseases, natural disasters, dead animals crossing our backyards in plain day. Many of these things we fear seem to never happen to us. Even if, and when they do, all of our anxieties and worries generally have done nothing to protect us. Isn't that something? We worry about stuff. 99% of the time they don't happen, and when they do happen, all of our worry didn't help any. That was wasted energy. So what can we do to control this fear? You know, the Bible never minimizes many of the things that we fear. In fact, it shows that the world will become more dangerous and frightening as the end time approaches. And let me tell you, I got some news for you. It is very close. I know it's not just because I'm getting old. It's because the signs are there. So, The Bible shows that and tells us that things are going to get worse near the end. But it also shows us that we can deal with these bad fears that come upon us. We need to go to the Father with our fears. We can ask Him, and in fact, He encourages us to ask Him for strength and peace in the midst of the situation. David was a man after God's own heart, and he faced many fears many times. And in Psalm 34, verse 4, he said, "I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." See, before deliverance from the Lord, we have to cry out to Him. And then verse 9, he continues, says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints." Again, that's a good type of fear. Reverence, being awe, respect, honor Him. There is no want to those who fear Him. That's an amazing promise right there. But today I am ending up with this thought that the Lord has placed in my heart. Our country, our society, and even many people in the church have lost the reverential fear of the Lord. There seems to be no reverence for God, nor for the holy things of His kingdom. There is no fear of what happens to us when we don't consider God and ignore Him. We take God for granted, and we have cheapened His character to that of a magic lamp. I want this, poof, there it is. That's the way we pray anymore. God, give me this, God, give me that, and can you make it quick, please? I'm in a hurry, I'm in debt, I'm sick, I want to feel good so I can do my own thing. We like to get what He promises, but we're not very obedient to His commands to us. Oh, He has to be there for us, but we don't seem to have any accountability towards Him, do we? It's all about what we want and when we want it, but hardly ever about His agenda or about His will for us. Let me just refresh you with some biblical memory for you. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, it says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." And those were not meant to be kind words, especially that last sentence. In other words, God is nice. He is merciful, loving to an incredibly depth that we don't even understand. But so is His justice. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, the author says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Ask Pharaoh about it. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And He is not talking about the enemy. He's talking about God. God is loving, merciful, and He's so kind. But He's also the God of justice. And we were singing about it. He is holy. When we approach Him and commune with Him in holy reverence, knowing who He is and what He is able to do, then He fellowships with us and treats us as the children that He so dearly loves. But when we treat Him like another pendant in our neck or another bracelet to make us look good, then we have to beware. It is not that He stops loving us, but He will not fellowship where He is not invited nor wanted. We cannot afford to live without the favor of the Lord in this present time when we are so close to the end. This age that we have been studying in Ephesians, the age of grace is about to be wrapped up. I hope you realize that. You know, we do mess up at times. We do dumb stuff. We sometimes ignore or rebel against His commands. We miss the mark. We commit sins against Him. And even with all that, He has made provision for us to be forgiven, for us to be cleansed, and for us to be restored to fellowship with Him. He wrote to us in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no question that when we confess, now, confession implies there is repentance. So many times we want to just pass it on as a, oh yeah, I messed it. That's not confession. If we confess before a holy God that He was right and we were wrong, and we admit to our wrongdoing, He will forgive us. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and He restores fellowship. In James chapter 4, verse 8, James says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. See, who starts first? Actually, God did a long time ago. He's drawing us all the time, and yet we're not responding. But then when we respond, oh, He will just come so close. And then He rebukes us. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now even the Christians are losing the healthy respect and godly fear that we should have with the Lord. We can understand the world. You see our government. Just what happened last Sunday. Our government made a proclamation against something God calls it an abomination. And our government says, we are going to dedicate this day for this abomination. And we're so proud of it. That's having no fear of God. And Christians all over this nation are joining with the perversion, with the abomination. It's like we think we can do what we want, how we want to, and we think we can get away with it. We think that there are no serious consequences, that it will be okay, that it will all work fine after all is said and done. We act as if God is not asking anything from us and that we are to fend for ourselves. We hardly ever pray. And when we do, it's empty, self-absorbed, and for reason or pretense towards others. We want to impress others with our prayers. We want to impress God with our prayers. And we use a lot of vain words. And then we deceive ourselves with our pretension. We think that because we say a few things, maybe took 2 minutes, we were not even thinking on God, we were thinking on ourselves. Self-deceived. We do things without considering the love for God and the love for others. Just as Jesus summarized the whole law. Love God and love your neighbor. And we no longer have respect or honor God, and we don't care about our neighbor. We live our Christian lives as if God had nothing to do with us, or at least very little. We work, we plan, we do things, we say things. We never consider whether those things are okay with God and acceptable to Him. God seems to be out of our radar screen. And we fend for ourselves with no thought of pleasing Him in any way. When we feel conviction, we immediately justify ourselves. For after all, it's my right. It's always somebody else's fault. I am the victim here. Jesus suffered to pay for your sins and mine. But it wasn't so that we could live the life the way we wanted to. We were headed for an eternity of horror and suffering. We don't even have an idea. He freely gave us redemption to spare us from that eternal destruction. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we are saying, no, thank you. I'll do things my way. I don't need help. I'll have my own way. You know, I personally don't fear the enemy and what he can do to me. But what I fear is not being on God's side with his protection, with his care. That I fear. Being separated from his guiding life in me just because my flesh wants to have control of my life. I fear that, being separated from God. Because I know that without God, I am no match for the enemy. You see, if God is not on my side, then I have to fight on my own strength. And I will fail every single time. Without God in my life, I am a puppet in the hands of the enemy. And when the enemy gets tired of playing with me, he will destroy me and toss me like garbage. I have seen it. You have seen it. You have seen it in people. They lived like there was no God, and the enemy just played with them, used them for a while, and then just shriveled them to nothing and threw them like garbage. And they end up destroyed, obliterated. You've seen it. And yet, we sometimes think and are so deceived in thinking that it will be different with us. Because after all, it's us, not those people. Olivia, would you come? Or somebody would come play? My brothers and sisters, the end of this dispensation of grace is about to show up. There will be a reckoning of every thought and deed we have done in this life. And it will determine the place and position we are going to have in the next life, in the eternal life coming up. We need to wake up from the hypnotism of the world and of this flesh. Yes. It's time to get up. Wake up. We need to repent before Almighty God for the worldly attitudes that we have adopted. Trust me, we don't want the judgment of God. We want his loving hands, his loving heart, his loving compassion, his mercy, his kindness. And to get that, we need to respect him, honor him, be obedient and submissive to him. We need to get back to our first love and fellowship with him as a father and his children should. We have strayed very far, but it's not far enough for us to get us back. But we need to take a step. This country is not necessarily going to change. I hope it does, but if it doesn't determine my decision to follow after God with all of my heart. The world will always be the world. And you cannot trust the attitudes of the world. You cannot adopt them. fact, the Lord says, be separate from the world. And we're just trying to conform to it. And we tend to walk in the same step they're walking. God has better plans for you and for me. And He's calling us to own our transgressions, our sin, our disobedience, our apathy, our lack of fear and reverence for Him. And He's calling us. Shatara was talking about her dad being a stray child. In many ways, we're all straying some areas. And the Lord doesn't give up. He is relentless. He never quits. But you know, there is time when grace and mercy stops and the judgment has to come. Because He just as merciful as He is holy and righteous and just. So this altar is open. But remember, God does not want a show from you. He wants sincere repentance and a change of heart. And whether that happens in an altar or happens in the closet in your room or wherever, you can be by yourself and be sincere and frank with your Lord. Then find that place. Realize that He loves you unmeasurably, but He still is a holy God that will only respond when people approach Him in a righteous way. So I pray today that as you think on this, that you would consider some of the ways that you have strayed from His word, from His commission to you, that you would repent, that you would come back and spend time with Him, making things right, confessing, and telling Him to forgive you and to cleanse you and to put you back again in the right path. And if you mean that repentance and confession, He will forgive you, He will cleanse you, and He will put you right back in the road where He wants you to fulfill all of this, His plan for your life, and fulfill the fact that He came for us to have life and have it to the fullness. Don't let the enemy tell you that the fullness of life is out there in the world. That's just death painted with makeup. The real life is in the life with the Lord. And you don't need to miss it. Father, I thank You. I thank You for people that are willing to listen once again. I thank You for people that are willing to repent, to acknowledge their wrongdoings. Father, thank You that You never, when we cry out to You, You never turn us out. You never turn us away. You are always there like a faithful Father. No matter what we have done, when we repent, Father, You pick us up. You put a ring in our finger. You put a robe over us. And You are delighted into calling us sons and daughters again. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would convict us to the point that we decide to make a key change in our way of behavior, our way of thinking, our way of acting, our way of speaking to our brother, to our sister, a way of conducting our lives before men, our way to be obedient to the things that You call each one of us individually. And I thank you for your Spirit forgiving and cleansing and receiving us back again as your children. Father, I bless your children. I bless your people today. And I thank you for your patience, for your endurance towards us, Lord, for your kindness and mercy. I bless your people and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed in the name of Jesus.